This is The Topic is Trek, episode 101 for Friday, October 22nd, 2021. Coming up in this episode, dust off your prayer stones, Chakotay is back. A deep dive into what's happening at Viacom CBS. Our first contact review. All that and more, if I'm not too confused, right now here on The Topic is Trek. Bynar's High Five Edition. Welcome to The Topic is Trek, the podcast that runs on impulse power. Join us for a journey where no show has gone before. If it has to do with Star Trek, there's a good chance we'll talk about it, sooner or later, because on this show, the topic is Trek. Engage already! Well, hello everyone, and welcome back to another thrill-packed episode of The Topic is Trek. I am Clinton, one of your co-hosts here on the show, and beaming in to join me from parts unknown with his new hip catchphrase is Mr. Craig Stepp.
Uh-oh, another transporter accident. That's his catchphrase. Love it.
I hope not.
I think it's been used before by that toxic waste guy on RoboCop.
Say, go ahead, make my day.
Ooh, so far. I mean, so close. No, I mean, so far.
I'll stick with the toxic waste.
And also beaming in, hopefully with a better transporter and effect, is Mr. Chuck Tomasi.
Working.
Oh, he could turn into the M5, so I guess that's not.
I was like the better. M1. M5 had much better voice.
It was upgrade, had better resolution.
The M5 was more like this.
I'm sorry, Dave. I can't do that.
No, you're confused now all of a sudden. Although there was a connection between 2001 and Star Trek, but that's another story for another day. But speaking of the original series, did everyone get a chance to watch Bill Shatner go into space?
Who? Yes.
Yes, I was significantly underwhelmed by the live broadcast. Because all they showed was the ship. I wanted to see what was going on inside during the flight, but no, we didn't get to see that.
Yeah.
Well, I have a theory about that. I figure they don't show the inside in case someone doesn't react well to zero-G.
And then
they did show pictures later. I did want to see some video, you said, Chuck. But I did see some videos, pictures, and you could see clearly that William Shatner was in awe. I thought so.
Oh yeah, his little testimonial at the end when he was, came back and said, "This is amazing. I'm still, excited about it." Whatever.
I'm not gonna lie. That actually moved me to tears a little bit.
Yeah.
Because once I realized how impacted he was, I was getting drawn in, and it was amazing.
But I figured that if someone pays for my flight, like Bill didn't have to pay for his, I'm willing to go too.
And I'd be in awe too. Yeah. I'm in awe that I didn't have to pay for this. All you Amazon people paid for it.
Yes, that's right. Thank you so much.
Well, in other news.
Wait, that's me.
Wait, I wasn't done with that news.
No, wait a minute. In other news, Jeff Bezos is actually human because he looked like he was able to stop for a minute and really realized that William Shatner was having a moment and actually took his sunglasses off. And just let him speak.
Look up his cowboy hat. And,
And I was like, because he wanted to get in on the, let's do this champagne. And then when he realized that William Shatner was really having a moment, he kind of stopped and he just stood there and watched. I was like, that's exactly what he should have done.
Right.
Is just stand there and let him have this moment and listen. He didn't have to do anything. And I thought that was pretty good.
Once they landed, I was done. I walked into the dentist's office and they cleaned my teeth so there was less pain. That's where I watched it. I watched it from the lobby
of the sublime to the mundane.
Yeah.
Once they were done, I had my teeth cleaned.
Hey, there was more pain in the teeth cleaning.
Well, You should share your pain. I think you did.
Oh, please. No. No.
Well, we're waiting on our invites, so all three of us can go up at the same time. But
that's right. So, Jeff, if you're listening, and I know you are, because I know you always listen to the topic is trek.com. Give us a call or an email or just post us on Amazon. That'll be fine. All right. But at this point, we have a lot of things to cover in this episode. So we're going to go straight to the first segment as long as we get the big old thumbs up. So, Charlie, are we all set to go with subspace chatter?
I don't know if I trust him anymore after that last episode.
I know.
You don't need all that subspace chatter.
He's back! He's back.
That's good old Charlie.
Back to his original hijinks.
Yeah. All right. Well, in spite of that, Chuck is going to take us away with the first story.
Recently at New York Comic Con, Paramount Plus presented two Star Trek panels. The first was for Star Trek Discovery Season 4. Attendees were treated to a live panel with most of the series stars, as well as showrunner and executive producer Michelle Paradise. Speaking about her character, Captain Michael Burnham, Sonequa Martin-Green, said that fans will see that the promotion has actually put a bit of distance between Burnham and the crew. When you take on responsibility for an entire crew, there automatically is a little bit of stepping back that happens. But she assured the crowd it won't have an effect on Burnham's friendship with... Who do you think? Saru?
Lorca? Yeah,
well, you know, it will definitely won't affect that, because, you know, with Tilly, of course. Mary Wiseman chimed in that Tilly has moved up in leadership as well, and is feeling more of the pressures that that holds. Well, is she not Emperor? Or, that was Killy.
No, she's not Captain Killy.
Darn it. Yeah. She's had leadership experience. She says that Tilly will find herself on her own personal journey. Sounds like she needs a gap year. Wilson Cruz revealed that the theme of Season 4 is uncertainty. Oh, I thought he was talking about the music changed or something.
That's it. It's called uncertainty.
It now has a name. We'll call it that. He explained that it explores, quote, how we come together to deal with it and lean on each other. When you're not around, I'll be your friend.
Can't afford it.
Stand by.
No, that was stand by me, not lean on me.
Yeah. I didn't say lean on me.
He also, should we sing karaoke again?
No.
Dr. Culber's promise to have Gray be seen, quote, when Dr. Culber makes a promise, he keeps that promise, Cruz replied. Ooh.
So there you go.
Interesting teasers.
Yes. The panel also featured the premiere of the final trailer for Season 4 of Discovery. We see the crew facing a gravitational anomaly that threatens our entire galaxy. And that's where all our stuff is. So this is crisis time.
Didn't the burn like blow out everything in our galaxy? This poor galaxy, it's taking a beating in the next 900 years.
No one is going around in circles. Anyway, as Wilson Cruz mentioned, there's a lot of uncertainty about this anomaly. That feeling of not knowing is clearly leading to an overall sense of anxiousness throughout the Federation. In the trailer, we see aliens from many worlds, including a Ferengi. And the Ferengis look a bit different now, as one might expect after all that time.
They have bigger head ridges like the Klingons.
We also see for the first time the 32nd century Federation president, who we've been wondering where that person was. Rilak, played by Chila Horsdal, who is a mixture of the character, not the actress, is a mix of human, Bajoran, and Cardassian.
Interesting. Got it all in there.
That's quite the mixture there. The president does not seem overly impressed with Burnham's methods. Oh, and David Cronenberg is back. Woohoo!
Yeah.
I wanted to see the Federation president brought back by Kurtwood Smith.
He'd be a little old. So anyway.
Well, he is coming back on Netflix, and that's 90s show.
So there you go. Yeah. Season 4 of Discovery premieres on November 18th on Paramount Plus.
Already? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Time is just flying by, isn't it?
I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, did you not hear earlier, didn't Clinton, didn't you say it was 7 days?
I didn't give the count this week, but as of the release date for this episode, we are a mere 7 days from the premiere of Star Trek Prodigy and 24 days away from the premiere of Star Trek Discovery.
Time marches on for everyone.
At warp 10, apparently.
Yeah. My math is right. Shouldn't it be 28 days? Well, anyway, it's not that far from now. So, math, it's hard.
Anyway, after this last weekend, after the Discovery panel, it was time for Star Trek Prodigy to take the stage. Perhaps the biggest news to come out of the panel was confirmation of the news that Robert Beltran will be returning to the Star Trek franchise as Chakotay, or to be more specific, Captain Chakotay.
But still Ensign Kim, probably.
Yeah, forever Ensign. We don't know how his story relates to the main Prodigy plot, which takes place in the Delta Quadrant. We do know that this crew will include characters voiced by David Diggs. David? David Diggs, probably best known for his work on the original Broadway cast of Hamilton. Jamila Jamil, most American fans will recognize from The Good Place. And Jason Alexander, George Costanza from Seinfeld, as well as Kuros from the original Voyager.
I would love to see Jason Alexander play George Costanza on Star Trek.
Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah.
If you took the transporter.
Hey, you can't take that out of the trash. That's food. No, you can't eat food out of the trash.
You're not allowed to pee in the sonic shower.
They're here all week, people.
We're doing all the Seinfeld tropes.
Keep going.
Anyway, in the new clip from Prodigy released at Comic-Con, we see the emergency training hologram Janeway meet the group of young travelers who have taken possession of the Federation's experimental ship, the Protostar. ETH Janeway seems a bit concerned as well. Right. I mean, as right, she should be.
Well, it was interesting in the clip. She's talking about how apparently the program is meant to work with the crew on their journey back from the Delta Quadrant. So clearly, the hologram knows that it's in the Delta Quadrant. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is, it's one of these situations where if you wake up and you are the holographic program and you're designed to work with the crew and nobody on the ship is from the Federation, would you be willing to be like
helping them? Yeah, exactly. The first thing that you would think of is it was a takeover.
Yeah.
She's an emergency training hologram. How does she respond to the first, like, please state the nature of the emergency training situation?
My biceps, I need them pumped up.
There's a gym on deck 5.
So we will see very, very, very shortly. We will see how this all works.
Well, the other thing we'll see, or have seen, in a brief video message, actor Anson Mount announced that filming was complete on season 1 of Star Trek Strange New Worlds. Yay! Saying that the project was now in the hands of post-production, and we will also see it sometime in 2022. Well, that's not that far off.
No.
Mount also took a moment to acknowledge the fans by saying, I just want to remind you that this is happening because of you, the fans. You made this happen. And we are so grateful for your support, for your continued support, that all your well wishes. He did break down in tears like that.
He got all sloppy.
Yep.
Everything. Were you watching the same video I was? It was that.
Maybe we watched the director's cut.
As Mr. Mount said, Star Trek Strange New Worlds will premiere sometime in 2022. Mm-hmm. You can watch it by going to episode 101 over at thetopicistrek.com. You think I'd be a little quicker on my own cues.
You would think so, but I must say, this being about things that are quick, it's a quick trip to Vulcan, Alberta, Canada, because we still have no news out of there at this point. I mean, if everyone's fine there, I'm sure. We just don't have any news to pass on to you about events happening there. And we will check in on them again next time.
Is the news on lockdown? Is the whole town on lockdown?
I don't know about that, but I've been kind of radio silent, so I've got to do some checking in on the Vulcan Advocate and see what's happening there. Anyway, to hold you over in the meantime, because you're, I'm sure, bummed about the fact you can't hear about Vulcan Alberta, Canada, we have links to 19. Now, I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but a lot of the stories that were on the different services these past couple of weeks were about Comic-Con and the happenings there. So they were really duplicate stories of what we covered. However, there are 19 additional stories broken up by series, movies, and other categories that do cover things we did not get a chance to talk about. You'll find everything from an article on how you can own a one-of-a-kind phaser rifle. And we're talking about the one that Shatner is using in the second pilot episode, to one on how Star Trek inspired one biotech company to create living human tissue.
Ooh.
You'll find it all over in the show notes for episode 101 over at thetopicistrek.com. All right, and now it's time to come back from Subspace Chatter, and my favorite part of that, as always, is to say goodbye, Charlie.
I want to stay.
No.
But we don't want you to. All right, and I'm going to take us on a little side mission, a little away mission, if you will, right, for a few minutes. This is a topic I've wanted to talk about for several weeks after reading some articles, but we've had a lot of Lower Decks episodes to get through. So now that we're only talking about one this week, this would be a good time. It involves just a bit of background on what's happening these days with Viacom and Paramount, and of course how it affects Paramount Plus. So I'm going to read you my investigative journalism piece here.
We need one of those news story sounds.
So when CBS and Viacom merged in December of 2019, and I think we all remember that, it was announced that Jim Giannopoulos would stay on in his role as chairman and CEO of Paramount Pictures. Giannopoulos had been the head of the studio since 2017, taking over from Brad Gray. Gray, who had held the studio, had led the studio for 12 years, had been fired in 2017 as a result of a power struggle between his backers and the family of majority owner Sumner Redstone. All this is going to play out in a couple of seconds here. Cut to September of this year, Giannopoulos was fired and replaced by Nickelodeon president Brian Robbins. Giannopoulos's firing was apparently the end result of a struggle between creatives such as Tom Cruise, who want exclusive theatrical releases for their films, and Shari Redstone, now chairman of Viacom CBS, who is desperate to feed and build Paramount Plus. So I think you see a bit of history repeating itself there. A few weeks later, Emma Watts, whom Giannopoulos had brought on in 2020 as president of the Motion Picture Group, also left the company. Many insiders were expecting Watts to be picked as Giannopoulos' successor, and the pair had worked together to stop the hemorrhaging of hundreds of millions of dollars at the studio when Giannopoulos took over, turning things around to show hundreds of millions in profits for the theatrical division. This shakeup, replacing executives with a background in motion pictures with ones versed in cable and streaming, underlines the fact that Viacom CBS has been rather evasive when it comes to its commitments to theaters, and its new emphasis will now be on digital. The Sumner family built their empire on movie theaters with the National Amusements chain, but Sumner Redstone, who actually was the one who coined the term content is king,
I'll be darned,
believes the product, not the particular distribution chain, is what is essential. This sentiment seems to be shared by his daughter, Shari Redstone, who has set her focus on Paramount Plus. Despite that shift, Paramount has deals with creative partners that are not excited by the idea of their properties being redirected to the streaming service. Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt, Margot Robbie, Channing Tatum, and Sandra Bullock, among others, have Paramount projects that have been promised exclusive theatrical releases. It is unclear if they will get them, And even if the release will be in theaters first, Paramount is trying to pull back on the number of days before the film is available on Paramount Plus. This is setting up a battle similar to the recently settled lawsuit between Scarlett Johansson and Disney. I think we remember how that was going.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, money can soothe a lot of those issues, but they may not have as much of that to go around. Even though CBS entered the streaming game earlier than competing services such as Disney and Apple, best guesses put the service at around 12 to 15 million subscribers, not counting Showtime and other niche services like Noggin. By comparison, year-old Apple has somewhere around 20 million subscribers, and after just 2 years, Disney Plus has a staggering 116 million worldwide. What then will fill the content needs Redstone is demanding? Many in Hollywood think it will be a slew of low-cost, mediocre movies on Paramount Plus. That sounds more like a Hallmark Channel clone than a premium entertainment service to me.
True.
All of this is prelude to what Redstone hopes will happen, that the streaming service will gather enough value that the service will become an attractive acquisition target.
Oh, the American dream.
So, since the title of this podcast is The Topic is Trek, you probably want to know how all this will ultimately affect Star Trek. Well, first, the streaming service, if it is sold sold as its own entity, well, we could find ourselves right back in the middle of the old TV versus movies divide, with two entities destined to forever stay apart. In fact, with no one entity overseeing everything, such a split could become catastrophic. On the other hand, if Viacom CBS is sold as a whole, there's no guarantee it will not be broken up with chunks going to the highest bidder. Now, that's on the far end of things. More immediately, however, earlier I mentioned that both Giannopoulos and Watts are no longer at Paramount. You might recall that we have mentioned Watts on the show before. She is the executive who halted work on Noah Hawley's Star Trek project, saying there needed to be a clear direction for the franchise. Since both she and Giannopoulos had previously worked at Fox, they had some experience with franchise businesses. I suspect that that's why back in July, Watts announced that Matt Shackman, hot off his success with WandaVision, would helm the next Star Trek movie, with the directive to set a specific new course. But we may never find out, because if there's one thing I know about Hollywood, it's that the people in charge tend to orphan or squash projects not greenlit under their watch. So don't be surprised if we get word that there has been a parting of the ways from key creatives and that the next Star Trek movie is back on hold. So that's a lot to process at once, because I was gathering up all this stuff from various sources. But yeah, the nitty gritty of it is that enjoy Paramount Plus while it lasts as it is. And we're all one big happy family again, because, you know, it can be who knows what's going to happen down the road to all
this.
This
is a convoluted mess.
Yeah. I mean, the hiring and firing of executives is, you know, it's kind of standard practice
right in
Hollywood. But one of those things that actually does happen is that they go, yeah, I didn't greenlight that, so I have no interest in it whatsoever. And I don't know how all that will affect Kurtzman, you know, and Star Trek as a whole on Paramount Plus. I don't know what anybody's opinions are. Now, the background of the people that are in charge now are more television oriented, so they may see the value in what Star Trek is doing on Paramount Plus. So that might be relatively safe for now in the grand scheme of things. And certainly we see the commitment to a lot of shows happening right now on Paramount Plus. It's a year or two down the road when we see how Paramount Plus and Viacom CBS are doing against the behemoths.
Yeah.
That we have to really see what's going to happen.
Yeah. And it's funny, but that they were just celebrating the fact that the two companies merged back together, and oh, Star Trek's under one umbrella now. And then the stuff happens, and all of a sudden, well, maybe not 100%. We're not sure.
Yeah, and I think some of this definitely is another effect of the pandemic took things that were going to happen over the course of 5 years or 10 years and made them happen in a year.
Yeah.
That suddenly the theaters were closed and everyone was relying on streaming. And now everyone's trying to figure out, are we going to go back to theaters? And apparently Redstone feels like, no, maybe not so much. Maybe we're just going to let that.
Well, I love the theater, but some things I'm willing to just watch it at home. You know, I know our buddy Joe Fiore would disagree because he's been going to the theater for quite a while ever since they've been back home because he's wanting to support them. And I like that feeling. I understand where he's coming from, but I don't feel like there's been a lot of movies I'm like, just watch it at home.
You know? Well, I mean, the quality of the movie aside, to me, it's like working from home versus working at work. To avoid the distractions of
yep.
home by mm-hmm. actually going to the theater and, you know, not to say that someone's not trying to text two seats in front of you, distracting you, but
right.
it's a bit more immersive.
Yeah. I mean, sure. Overall, you know, the screen is huge. The sound is a lot better than I'm going to get in my home. Probably most homes, despite what some people say about their home theater system. And it's a chance to get away and not just be in the house again.
Yeah.
So I would certainly miss it if it went away.
Yeah, because your wife can't give you a to-do list if you're not there to receive it, right?
She texts. You sit in that seat over there. I'll sit on the other side of the theater just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, she's sending a text. Never mind.
Yeah.
Here's a text. Go give me more popcorn.
That's right. Yeah.
All right. So we'd like people's opinions. If you have any thoughts on what you think is going to be happening with Paramount Plus and Viacom CBS and what your thoughts are on going to the theaters, or do you mind the fact that you might get more of a movie of the week being highlighted on Paramount Plus than necessarily big names?
As long as it's not a Hallmark movie of the week.
Well, you never know. So let us know. We over in the comments over on our Facebook page for The Topic is Trek. All right, but now it's time to head out on our main mission. And let's see, I think we had Craig do the lesson. Chuck, why don't you give us some background here on what we're going to be talking about?
All right, this one's called First Contact, written by Mike McMahon, directed by Jason Zurich. And here's your mini synopsis. The Cerritos is assigned to support duty on a first contact mission. But that simple task soon turns into a desperate attempt to rescue the crew of the USS Archimedes before it collides with a planet. Captain Freeman is offered a new ship, and Rutherford must make an important decision.
And so once again, we have a situation where they pull out all the stops on the season finale.
I was going to say, what we thought the last show was packed with crap. This is packed also.
Yeah, it felt like
a lot going on.
A lot longer show than it was, just because of the amount of stuff that was in there.
Yeah, there's right. A lot of stuff in here.
I mean, we start off, and I'm referring to, again, something that we don't include in the show notes because it's just a little memory intensive. Is I have screenshots of a lot of the different scenes from the show so we can kind of step through what's happening. We start off with a briefing from Admiral Freeman, who we actually see has legs.
Yes.
Who knew?
He's not just a picture frame.
That's right. And he's giving the briefing to not only Captain Freeman, but Captain Gomez.
Yes, they brought back Lysia Naff, yes. Who played, if you remember right, Star Trek fans, she was Ensign Gomez in, what was it, the first Borg episode way back in season 3?
Yeah, I think she was in 2 episodes.
I think it was 2. I think, because the pictures I saw, they didn't have the collars.
But they used her voice again. I'm sure she doesn't look like that young, innocent ensign we saw 30 years ago.
Looks just like the cartoon now.
That would be something. If you played, you know, this minor part in a show, and then they said, we want you to come back. Oh, and you're going to be cartooned. That would be a mind blower, wouldn't it? As an actor.
You're going to be a captain. Oh, again, take that, Harry Kim.
Well, didn't we see Harry as a captain, or was it a game promo or something?
We did. In the finale of Voyager, in the alternate.
Oh, that's right. I knew he was promoted at some point in some universe.
But speaking of promoted, we also find out that Captain Freeman is going to be offered a new ship.
Yeah.
But she apparently cannot take any of her command staff with her. And it seems from what Gomez says about that, that they don't like to mix. I don't know. They don't like to mix the crews of like a California class ship with a much higher ship. Or
why not? We're just as good as any other ship.
Okay, Billups, we'll get to you.
There's something about
the... She went nuts, dude.
They are starting to, give the California class this real persona or meme.
Yeah, it's real complex. No one knows they exist. You know, we don't like to, you know...
You're not allowed to parties.
Actually, I noted that they really bear down on calling out the California class ship. I mean, they said it like 100 times, it felt like.
I'm not sure why, I didn't pick that up, but okay.
Yeah, I was like, well, it's like 5-6 times. And then I was like, okay, they're really bearing down on this California class stuff.
But we find out that Mariner is also on the station, because we're in space dock at this point. And she's walking around with some contraband, which we assume is, it's blue. It's blue liquid, and it's contraband. So you make your own decision about what that might possibly be. And she bumps into stupid Jennifer, spills her bottles. Jennifer.
Yeah.
And they have a little exchange, and Jennifer says, I don't even think about you. And then, of course, Mariner mumbles something about her stupid butt. And she gives this kind of interesting look. So more about that as the show goes on. However, at that point, Mariner overhears the conversation between Gomez and Freeman when she hides behind the only plants on the entire station.
Yeah, no. Actually, we saw a lot of, for Star Trek, we saw a lot of plants on the station and here. I mean, you know, for a change, that's kind of funny.
And why would they take a confidential discussion like that out into the hall?
Well, there's clearly no one in the hall. I mean, as long as you don't look behind that plant, there's no one out in the hall.
Except the plants have ears. In Star Trek, they probably do.
A plot mover, you know, kind of.
That's right. It's a plant. It's the plot mover is the base. That's what they call the base that it's in. Oh, that's the plot mover. Let's move it over here now.
Right.
So, of course, Mariner is all upset about this news, because it's not only her captain, it's her mother that they're talking about that's going to leave the ship. Cut to Boimler. Oh, Boimler.
Boimler.
Never changes.
He's working on a sign that looks an awful lot like Captain Picard Day, only it's Happy Freeman Day. The artist did a great job.
Yeah, they did. I thought that was a little weird that they were doing Captain Happy Freeman Day. There's no civilians on this ship, or at least like children, like the Enterprise was.
Right, because, well, I think that's the point, is that
he's the child.
He's saying it's going to be Captain Freeman Day, and everyone else keeps saying that's just for kids.
Yeah.
or as the dolphins said, it's just for pups.
Even the whales say it's for kids. You know.
Yeah. Right.
Were they whales or were they dolphins? What were they?
Beluga whales. Beluga
whales. Oh, they were beluga whales. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's doubling down on Captain Freeman Day. Meanwhile, Rutherford is having all sorts of system error issues with his implant, giving him alerts.
He's walking into walls.
Yeah. Actually, there was one time it was all filled up with errors and he couldn't see
like,
at all.
Looked like he was getting spammed on a website with no pop-up blocker.
What website did you go to?
I was going
to
say, wait a minute, yeah. And Tendi is got this message that Dr. Tiana wants to see her, and that can mean nothing but bad news as far as she's concerned. So she's all upset about it.
That's right.
But Mariner thinks that Mariner thinks that Boimler gives her the great idea to tell Ransom that Freeman is leaving. So she goes and tells him that to sow discord among the staff. I'm not sure what her end game was there, because, okay, she might tick off the rest of the bridge crew, but how would that stop her mother from leaving?
I don't think it was, I think it was just her being mischievous again.
Just out of spite to do it?
And her mom a hard time.
Or perhaps show the other crew, senior staff, that she could be a mole for other information, maybe.
Or that no one's going to miss you, Mom, because you didn't tell them anything.
Yeah.
We get a lovely sequence where both the both of the ships,
Cerritos and space dock. Archimedes.
At least they got the door open in time this time.
They did. They did.
You know, I thought the same thing. Open the doors.
They saved the arguing until after they were outside the doors this time.
Yeah, that's right.
Then they all left the bridge.
Yeah.
After Freeman again tries to make warp me a thing.
warp me out here and y'all meet me in the ready room.
And we find out that when Tendi goes to sick bay to see Dr. Tiana,
she overhears something.
She sees herself being deleted.
I remember the conversation she heard. Like, oh, she's just not cut out to be medical material.
I think she assumed it. We're talking about her.
No, her picture is there. Her picture is up on the screen, and Tiana presses the button, says, you know, deleted.
I missed that detail. I was occupied with the conversation.
Yeah.
So, watching it so many times to get the screen caps.
Yeah, and by the way, I forget where exactly it was in here. Boimler actually foreshadowed something that comes up later.
Yes.
He said...
Which I have an issue with.
Well, he mentioned, I never get to dive into unknowns.
But my question about that is, and, you know, I think we will discuss later why he said it and why that, you know, comes back at him. But it's like, he was on the Titan. He went into that thing that would stretch them out, you know, and all these, he was on an away mission where he was, you know, then beamed back and got himself cloned.
The Titan was a big unknown after unknown after unknown.
Yeah. I don't think it was for anything but the foreshadowing. So,
right.
Yeah. But it was kind of funny. I was like, wait a minute. Actually, he's been pretty busy this last two seasons.
But then we have a sweet little segment, a mini montage, if you will, because with Tendi saying to Rutherford, I think I'm going to be, you know, off this ship. He says, well, let's go, you know, give a good old tour of the ship one last time so you can see all your favorite places.
Rutherford, man. Wow.
Okie dokie. Yeah.
And they end up in a Jeffrey's tube.
They do. Right. Well, don't you always end up in a Jeffrey's tube at one point or another?
Yeah.
But they also get
Trek without Jeffrey tubes.
But they also get to touch. Tend to get to touch that plate over there that was always hot. Oh, maintenance hatch. She says, "Oh, it's always so warm," and she burns her hand on it. You wonder what is behind that maintenance hatch.
Yeah,
the warp core.
It's like a smoldering fire.
But then they say they're going to go someplace really. Really, you know, secret and, you know, a forbidden place to go. And a real deep cut is Tendi's reply saying, oh, the rubber ducky room. Now, the rubber ducky room is when Mike Okuda made up the first one of the master systems displays, you know, those kind of cross-sectional things of the ships. And he did it for Next Generation. And now we see them all the time. Mm-hmm. So those are the master systems displays. There were little Easter eggs in there, like a rubber duck, a Porsche, a mouse, a hamster on a wheel that was like supposed to be the engineering section. So I believe there was also a dolphin, which gave rise to Cetacean Ops, we get a payoff on this time around. So since that's been paid off, I think they felt like we need to move on to the next thing. After that was the rubber ducky room.
There was a, I was trying to find it quick. Oh, wait. Is this it right here? I had a picture, a cross section from the Star Trek Experience. It was when we were able to get up close and personal with the Elkar's panels. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, this one picture is supposed to have the rubber ducky in it. That's why when they said that, I went, what? And I went, oh, wait, I know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm. That is very deep. You're right. If you search for a rubber ducky room Star Trek, please put it on the terms so you don't get something strange.
I know where it's at. It's right below the bridge. There it is right there.
All right, so...
I have to send you all a screenshot, but yeah. Okay. It's like you can barely see it.
I think you can include that in the show notes if you can get a good enough image out of it.
Okay. I can do that.
So people can see that. A foreshadowing, perhaps, of season 3, Rubber Ducky Room. Who knows? And I'd be really interested to find out why. Anyway, let's move on with the main story. So the ships arrive in the LAP system, right in the lap of the LAP system, I guess. And we have a little callback. We're having lots of callbacks and foreshadowing at the same time, because when we get there,
I liked this one.
One of the junior people on the bridge trips and falls on the bridge. And all upset about it. And Gomez says, oh, don't worry. I've done far worse things in front of far more, stern captains and
superior officers or something, which immediately goes back to her entree of spilling coffee on Picard.
I think it was hot chocolate, wasn't
it? Oh, was it hot chocolate?
Hot chocolate. Right. Yeah, probably more insulting to Picard if it was coffee. It's like, not even tea? Oh, my goodness. And so everything seems to be fine now, right? We've got, although we have arguing all over the ready room, but Freeman sends them out. Everyone's arrived in the system. They're all set. The Cerritos is positioned out beyond the planetoid while, the Archimedes is going to go in to do first contact. And suddenly there's, as I put it here in the little notes, a red alarm. A red alert.
Red alarm. Red alarm.
Because a solar flare unexpectedly.
Of course it does.
Solar flares are usually just, predicted completely, goes and destroys the planetoid. And of course, that does not turn out well for the Archimedes, because apparently that makes all this debris, which has magnetized ionic plasma in it, and completely shorts out everything in the Archimedes. And the Archimedes is now on a tumbling path, caught in the gravitational well of the planet they're supposed to be making first contact with.
Magnetized ionic plasma. We're paying Dr. Erin McDonald for that.
That's right. She had to, here's the situation. How does it work? Actually, I think
I'm kidding, of course.
I think magnetized ionic plasma already existed in the Trek universe. So I think this is a second utilization, or a third or a fifth utilization of it. But yes, it does strike one as, okay, Dr. Erin, here's the deal.
We need something to throw at the ship that'll knock it out of, like an EMP, but not an EMP.
That's right. And that's the way it's described. Although I have a question here. Can anyone answer this for me? So power is knocked out on the ship. And the bridge crew is on the bridge.
Wait a minute. I think you're going to ask the same question I'm going to ask, but go ahead.
Okay. How does anyone on the bridge know that everything else is out?
And not just the bridge?
Right. Because they can't communicate with anybody.
They still have, it's a carryover from the old steamship days. They have a tube that goes down to engineering.
Is your power out down there too?
Yes. That's right. Actually, that was not the question I was going to ask.
Oh, okay. Well, what is your question?
I'll make up a better answer.
So the power is off across all USS Archimedes. How did they have gravity?
Yes. Yes. Plus,
I can answer that.
Plus, how did they have light?
They had little tubes going down to engineering.
No. See, gravity plating is charged by capacitors, and even if you lose the energy, you still have the capacitance in the capacitors to keep it charged. Like when, your device turns off, or the main battery runs low, you have a backup battery to keep it going.
Okay.
You got another one?
But why would auxiliary power be out then?
I'm jonesing for Dr. Erin McDonald's job.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, all right. We find out that no one knows what to do about how to solve this problem, how to rescue the Archimedes. And I love the fact that Kayshawn, not knowing exactly how it works, I guess, says, well, can't you just warp through it? To which everyone lays into him, because you still have to go from point A to point B, which would be taking you through the debris field. It's just, I was just asking the question, you know.
No, yeah, there's no such thing as dumb ideas. That was a dumb idea.
That's right. So Freeman turns to Mariner and says, you know, we need some like off the wall crazy idea. And she goes, I got nothing.
I got none.
So Freeman decides to go and take the captain's shuttle. I was unclear. Was she going to take the captain's shuttle and try the captain's yacht, excuse me, and try to go through the debris field? Because Mariner points out that it's got the same plating on it that the ship has.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought she was just going for a joyride to be rebellious again.
Well, the captain was doing that to be rebellious. Be rebellious. No, the captain's the one that was going to the yacht.
No, they were. I thought they were just going there to have a private conversation away from the rest of the crew.
I thought so too.
I think she was going there because she was powering it up, saying, "Okay, I'm fine. I can do this. I know how to. I've got the record, gotcha. You know, for this other thing, and I can do this." But it was unclear how she was going to actually do anything with it. Now we see later on the Archimedes that Gomez is trying to get power to one of their shuttles, because she's saying that she can use it to either change the trajectory of the ship or get some of the crew off of the ship. So that would make sense. They're past the debris field. They're just trying to do something at that point. And she can't make that work. But I couldn't figure out how the captain's yacht was going to get through all of this. And I think this is one of the rare times that we actually get to see a captain's yacht, even though we know that they're in the plans for all the ships. And I was kind of surprised, actually, that a ship as small as the Cerritos had a dedicated captain's yacht. So that was...
Yeah, me too, because I knew, like, the Enterprise had one.
Voyager had one.
Yeah, supposed to have one, but yeah.
Isn't that... I thought the Cerritos was about the same size as Voyager.
Is it?
I don't have the exact dimensions.
We'll have to look that up. I've got the feeling it's maybe not tremendously smaller, but I think smaller, and it probably has overall less surface area the way it's configured versus, sure. I mean, the Voyager is rather like a hefty vehicle as opposed to very spindly like Cerritos is. But while that plan, whatever it was probably not going to work, fortune would have it that Rutherford and Tendi are in the captain's yacht as well. They're having ice cream in the forbidden place, which they think is apparently now the place that Mariner and Freeman go to argue with each other.
Yeah.
And Rutherford comes up with an idea that sounds kind of crazy, but it just might work, to take all of the plating off of the ship, the entire outer protective hull of the Cerritos.
Yeah, which is pretty crazy.
But that holds all the air in.
Yeah, Mariner says, don't we kind of need that to, like, you know, avoid the vacuum of space and such?
Yeah.
But there's two layers in the ship. So they will keep the inner layer, but they will get rid of the outer layer.
But they all had to put on EV suits, which is a lot of EV suits.
Well, I mean, I guess theoretically you would have one for everybody. And it's unclear whether or not the people that are upset about the cancellation once again, the dance contest, of whether or not they were...
We got to wait till season 3 to get the dance competition.
Well, probably going to get canceled again in season 3. I guess we can make that as a prediction right now. That
right. Again, no, I'm going to predict we get a dance competition.
Okay.
Going against and everyone's involved.
And so...
Even the beluga whales are in the dance competition.
That's right. Asking everybody to go skinny dipping after the competition is over. We get to see these amazing shots, which talk about saving your budget for the end of a season. You've got all this animation of all this hull plating just being lifted off and discarded from.
Wouldn't you think they want that Cerritos back and they could put it in a nice pile over by that moon or something? Just throw it off willy-nilly into space.
If they have the time. And while this is going on, Rutherford has more problems with his visor. He can't see things again. And so Billups finds out that it's because he's been saving triplicate copies of all his memories with Tindy because of what happened the last time when his memory was ripped away. And he's run out of memory, which leads me to another question. Where is Rutherford's memory being stored?
In the cloud.
Little SD drive.
Well, if it's in the cloud, why is there a limit? And if it's being stored internally,
he's only paid for the $2 a month plan.
Well, but there's no money in Starfleet. So
tell that to the Ferengi.
No. So, I mean, if it's all being stored on board, which he presses a button and it's all deleted, which I guess could be remotely as well. But if it's stored on him, there's no point in storing triplicate copies of it because
if you get nuked, you get nuked.
It's on Quark's cloud service. Quark drive.
Well, of course I know Quark.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll get back to that question in a moment, because we find out something else that happens with his memory problem. But we get to see Shax carrying all the armaments around the ship. And what's his directive?
Blow something up.
Nothing gets blown up unless I'm the one doing it.
That's what it was.
There you go.
That's right.
But speaking about blowing things up, well, they didn't blow it up, but they released probably some explosive bolts, because the power is cut to the Cerritos, and the Cerritos uses a view screen to see ahead. Well, a view screen with no power is just a wall.
Yep.
So what do?
Knock out the wall.
You get rid of the wall. And so everyone's in a spacesuit on the bridge, because now there's no atmosphere on the bridge. Matter of fact, as they maneuver through the debris field, you see bits of rock just come floating into the bridge and bouncing around.
You don't want to do that at high warp.
Oh, and let's not forget that Ransom was flying the ship with a joystick.
That's right. That's
the first officer was flying the ship with a joystick. Where have we seen that before?
Mm-hmm.
That's a trope.
Was he leaning over the console with one leg up?
Yeah.
No, but he had on his heads up display in his visor. It's very smart. And what I thought was neat was you got this really tight shot of right after we have a scene where they're down in Cetacean Ops. You cut to this close-up of vents opening. There's like something come out of these vents. And what is that? And then you do a wider shot and you find out it's the thrusters that are all around the primary hull of the Cerritos. And they're responding to what Ransom is doing to maneuver the ship through the debris field.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I think that's the first, we've seen the thrusters a couple of times before in Star Trek, but it's really interesting to say this is all that they've got right now, because they can't use the engines to do this stuff.
Yeah. And it looks similar to like in Star Trek Beyond, you know, when they flip the saucer over, they turn on.
Right. That's right. That's the thrusters were there. They're firing them off at that point.
They look similar, you know, like don't hit the rectangles. No, they're circles. No.
So everyone's rushing around the ship. Rutherford has now run out of visible, although he has a good eye. I mean, he can look out of his regular eye as well, I would imagine.
That's what I was thinking too. It's like, what? How are you running into walls if only one eye is occupied?
Although the question is, you can't close the other eye, right? The other eye is a screen. So you'll always have that there is part of
overlaid,
your vision.
Yeah. And we don't know how his vision is processed in his brain. It might be, you know, the screen wins or something.
Yeah, maybe.
So he decides he has to do that reboot, and he, with a sigh, he presses the button, deletes all that memory. And we see these flashbacks of things that go by in an instant. Yeah. So we don't focus on those. Although when you stop and look at them in slow in, you know, single frame, you see a bunch of things. You see some things that we saw during the season and some things we didn't.
Yep.
That are interactions between Tendi and Rutherford. All I will point out from third person point of view.
Right.
So I can't quite figure that part out, but that's a cheat that's just used in film. So we'll give it that way.
Usually, you know, they give it a sepia tone or something. Right. To show this is a memory.
But the fact that it can't be his memory because he would not see himself.
Right.
But when he does end this purge, we see shadowy figures doing an operation.
Section 31. RoboCop. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. So do we think that this is Section 31 or something else?
Here comes a prediction. We're going to find out more about that in season 3.
Oh, thanks so much. I think that's a pretty safe. If that doesn't happen, I think we're in trouble, but
I don't think it's Section 31. Something tells me it's not, but yeah.
Cause it looks like they're humans from what I can tell. I mean, their heads seem to be human or humanoid shaped. So they don't seem to be Klingons or, you know, they certainly are not, they're not Pakleds. I can guarantee you that much. But so we see them performing an operation, which ends just as the drill is about to hit.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is what they said. Oh, he'll think it was an elective surgery.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's not.
So that means that it's not the implant itself, because I don't think that was elective surgery. It's something that they planted inside the implant that they're putting there. Because
they're holding up something. Them putting the panel in, you know, all together, the whole thing.
Well, I don't know, because she's holding up something. It just seems to be part of.
Well, remember, we ended the last season when he didn't have it.
Right. Right.
You know, so.
I would assume this is when they reinstalled it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when this happened.
A more recent memory, I guess.
Right. Right. But we get to meet the two. We go down to Cetacean Ops and we get to meet lieutenants, junior grade, Kimolu and Matt, who really, really, really want you to just take off your clothes and go skinny dipping with them.
They thought Rutherford was hot.
I would have laughed really hard if one of them was named Rory.
Yeah.
They are there apparently to do navigation, because that's what Mariner says. I thought they were just involved with navigation, but it turns out there's something critical down there, because one piece of the hull plating did not come off. And the only way to get that hull plating off is to get something at the bottom of the cetacean ops pool, if you will.
Right.
But of course, in ultimate logic, it's something that the whales cannot take care of, because it wasn't designed for flippers to handle.
Yet it's underwater.
At the end of a deep well and a long tube, you get to this piece.
Where have we seen a scene like this before? When they were releasing the hatch, you know, it was like when they were releasing the deflector control in First Contact.
Well, also Shatner has to go down and release stuff.
Bird
of prey lands. You think after that issue with whales and releasing hatches that they would realize, hey, if we're going to have whales, they should be able to release the hatches.
That's right.
Hatches? We don't need no stinking hatches.
Remotely. Yeah, they just need a button. Why do we got to?
Well, we find out it's because they use the exact same release mechanism as we saw in First Contact.
Right.
Where you have to
punch some numbers.
And then you have
you
to make the comes up.
Pull it out, turn it
that way, down that way. And yeah, I can see why that's not designed for flippers or for fins.
It wasn't designed very well for external spacewalks either.
Yeah. No, it really wasn't.
But keep seeing them getting hung up.
Yeah, who designed this thing, and why haven't they been fixed yet?
It looks like it's all based off of the Genesis planet activation device as well.
Right. No, that was more like concentric cylinders.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Boimler does what he's supposed to do, but there's a tear in his suit and he ends up, the whole suit fills with water and he blacks out before he can make it out of the pool.
I'm sorry.
Cut to?
I'm laughing because some of the things that they say.
Yeah. Well, the whales bring him up and toss him on the ground saying, you know, his blowhole is broken.
Yeah. Right.
And one of them said, don't let him dry out. Don't let him dry out.
You'd think they would have had some, you know, interspecies training at Starfleet.
Don't let him dry out.
And of course, Boimler is saved.
They're making the whales look dumber than they are. I'm offended.
Well, after Boimler was saved, what reason? What better way to celebrate saving your friend than to come skinny dipping? I said, man, they're just like single-minded.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Come on in. Yeah.
But the Cerritos makes it through the debris field. Yay! With Mariner being saved by stupid Jennifer from being floating off into space. And then the Cerritos put the tractor beam on the Archimedes, saves them. Yay!
And two pieces of it. The main ship and the nacelle was separated.
Ah, yeah. I didn't notice it. So they had a tractor beam on the separate piece as well?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, good job. Good job, Cerritos. And Freeman then gets to do the first contact because apparently Captain Gomez is in sick bay. So she gets to find out what first contact is like, and apparently it involves a lot of drinking. Which
she's drunk when she gets back on the ship.
Which makes sense because isn't that what Cochrane did with the Vulcans?
Yep.
You know? So
that I guess was that's the first contact.
Yeah, I guess. Oh, the first contact. Yes. I guess that's what you do is you just drink when you go down there. I did find it amusing that when the Liparian comes over and goes to hug Captain Freeman. If you look in the background, Shax for a moment is like, what the? Oh,
okay. Oh yeah. 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 He was ready to jump.
Like a Secret Service person.
Yeah.
Gotta take a bullet for her.
They were excited to see him show up too.
Yes. Yeah. I guess. So it must be a case of there was communication ahead of time. And this is the first ship to visit, but they were expecting them to be there, right? As opposed to some first contacts, which just kind of...
Here we are. Surprise.
Yeah. Boo, hey! We showed up.
We've been watching you for months in the bushes.
Surprise! Yeah.
And that android didn't go crazy and try and destroy everybody.
So the captain comes back to the ship. Everybody celebrates.
Yay! Yay!
Jennifer and Mariner become best buddies.
Aw.
They both think that Boimler is great.
Aw.
And then they go into the ready room because Starfleet is here and Freeman's going to turn down her promotion because she wants to stay on the Cerritos.
What?
Aw.
One problem.
It's not a promotion.
She's being arrested. Because Planet Packlet has been destroyed by a Vitruvian bomb that they believe she planted.
She wasn't there.
Well, that was mentioned when they were on Packlet Planet that I didn't mention about taking a Vitruvian bomb to Earth. Whatever. It's like, wow, okay. They brought back the Vitruvian bomb and the Packlet somehow blew up themselves.
That's what I'm thinking happened. Hmm. That they just plain old, I wanted to make it go and poof.
Well, she wasn't even there.
Right. She was on Packlet Planet in that episode.
They had pictures of her on the planet, and they say, well, you conveniently had this alibi. Oh, yeah, the alibi that was convenient for me figuring out there's going to be a solar flare that was going to destroy a planetoid that was going to knock out all the power. You know, that was my plan all along.
Naked. Yeah.
And we had to have the Packlets in almost every episode just for that plot point.
I know. Well, that means we're going to see him again next season.
Oh, please no!
Hey, you know what? Well, I love that scene when she goes, I didn't want the whole crew to see me. Yay! Yeah.
Oh, we also mentioned, I forgot to mention that Tendi was not being thrown off of the ship. She was being recommended by Tiana for science officer training.
On the bridge, yeah.
Yeah, just like Jadzia Dax. Who the blank is that? No, it's Spock. Spock. I don't know who that is.
Yeah. Tiana's got some good lines this whole season.
But we end the episode with a phrase we never thought we'd see in the cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
To be continued.
Yeah, they left us with a good cliffhanger.
And it's the exact same font as that when they used it in TNG.
Yeah.
It looks just like that.
Did they have license to use that font?
I think it's a Next Generation-ish font, no. I think.
Well,
I think
they're still merged together, yes. Until they unmerge,
right.
Then we got a problem.
That's right. Oh, we also found some of the the cut scenes there that when Freeman is talking to the entire crew saying we got to go all work together, we see Jet in counseling. So I thought, well, what are Jet's issues, I wonder, that he's working through? Who knows?
Who knows?
All right, so it's time to rate. First contact. We need a scale on this one, though. What scale should we be using?
Beluga whales.
Beluga whales. Okay. You came up with the rating system. How about you go first, Craig?
All right. I'm going to give this a solid, I'm going to give it a 9.5 because I love the concept of having to remove the hull. Everybody had conflicts and things going on that they had to work through. And it was satisfying. So 9.5.
Okay. I'll go next. I'm going to give it a 9.25 because we had a couple
of... I thought you're going to keep going.
He's getting increasingly more precision.
9.25, 0.7, 0.3. It's pi, actually. No,
you can't have multiple points in there.
No, just kidding. Well, you said you thought I was going to keep going.
You're
going
to mess up Diane.
That's right. I felt like...
Her spreadsheet just cracked in half.
I felt like we had one or two... The only thing that took it down for me a bit was that we did have a couple places where it was contrived. I feel unnecessarily like that foreshadowing of saying, oh, I never get to dive into the unknown. It was kind of unnecessary to set that up that way. And a couple of other just little nitpicks, not to say it's not a great episode, because it is a great episode, but I felt like there were a few things in there that didn't need to be there. That kind of like, I also felt like it was cute to have the callback to Gomez's fall, but it's like, did we really need that in there? It's kind of like so it was almost like a out of episode moment that was happening. It's kind of a wink, wink type of thing, but there's so much to do in this episode. Did we need to stop for that? I don't know whether it's supposed to show something about Gomez's attitude or her leadership skills. I'm not sure. So just for that reason, only that reason, I would say 9.25. What about you, Chuck?
I am also giving it a 9.25. It was a very good episode, but I thought there was just a little bit too much happening with too many people throughout the whole episode. I was like, wait, we're over here with Tendi and Ruth. No, wait, now we're over here with... It was jumping around a little bit too much for me. I mean, usually you have a primary storyline, a secondary, maybe a tertiary. This thing had, what, about 16 threads all going at the same time?
Well, I think part of that is because they were doing a lot of setup, given the fact that this is a two-parter. They're probably viewed as a unit. We're going to see the pieces seem to fit better together than they do right now. We'll get half of that story, but yeah, I definitely agree with that. All right. And we gave our ratings last time around. However, I forget whether it was Chuck or Craig that was saying, have I been keeping track of all the ratings we've been doing all season long? And I said, no, that's work. I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Well, listener Diane took that as a challenge and she went back and gave us a printout or a email with every single rating that we did for every single episode for Lower Decks. So we have that at our at our command here.
Almost every episode, because we...
That's true.
She wrote down the mid-season, because we did three in at one point.
Five. We did five.
I'm sorry. Together. You're right.
As a sign of our undying appreciation, we give you the happy tribble. Oh, wait.
What? You just shot the happy tribble.
He's not happy.
Well,
anymore.
We had two happy tribbles for you. But
is there a tribble planet? Where did they come from? I want to know their backstory.
The planet Trib.
Edward had something to do with that.
Yeah, he was an idiot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, since we have that at our disposal, last season finale, we gave 10, 10, and 9. So I gave it a 10. Craig, you gave it a 10, and Chuck gave that a 9. So average is at 9.6. I don't know how it's got to be lower this time.
Yeah, 9.5 and 2 9.25s.
Yeah. So a bit, but in the range, which I think is appropriate because I think that they're somewhat equivalent episodes.
The thing I remember from that spreadsheet, at least going through season one, it seemed like I was a grumpy old man and I had the lower ratings. But then when I looked at it, I was like, Clinton had lower ratings almost consistently than everybody else.
Yeah. I can be harsh.
Such a discerning Star Trek fan.
I am.
You are the grumpy old man of the group.
Get off my starship.
Hey, but what's interesting is if you look at our numbers, you can see they've consistently gotten higher as the whole...
Well, yeah, we were warming up to it. We were the first four or five episodes. I don't know about this in the first season anyway.
Yeah, you can. I mean, with that, I got to break it out again and do some filtering. But yeah, you can see the numbers have grown between the first episode and last season and today. So I think overall that they've improved.
Right. I think that, we look back at the season. I think the season, just like last season, to me, got off to a bit of a rocky start and things improved. I felt like we were getting closer to the end this season, though, where it didn't feel like things were coming together as much as they kind of, maybe this is hindsight that they seem to be coming together in the first season. I don't know. We were very random. And then all of a sudden we lost the Packlet story for an episode or two completely. And then it comes back at the very, very end here. So I don't know. Again, that was set up on stuff. But I think that's where the seasons go. You start up very slow and it starts to bounce its way up. And this season, it kind of started at a higher point and bounced its way up to the ending.
All right. We are over an hour and 12 minutes. What's left on the agenda?
All right. So with that in mind, and we've already actually done some of this at this point, so I guess I'll have to go back and make note of what we did predict. My question is, for Warp Speed Roundtable, what do we think is going to happen in season 3?
Michael Burnham's going to crash into a planet.
No. Wrong show.
You didn't say which season 3.
Season 3...
Season 3 of Family Ties?
Season 3 of Discovery. It's already been on. How about season 3 of Strange New Worlds? That would be a trick.
Season 3 of MASH?
Season 3 of Lower Decks.
Oh, that's good, because there wasn't a season 4 in TOS.
All right. So I have a couple of predictions. I predict, first of all, that we're not done adding ships to that Borg battle in the opening credits. We went from... It's going to become Wolf 359 by the time they're done with that. I also wonder, although they can't get Captain Stiles, the Cerritos is now without a captain. Is whoever shows up going to have a riding crop?
Yeah.
Because Mariner
she made a mention of that.
Right. And of course, that's a reference to Captain Stiles. But I'm thinking, what if you had a captain that had a riding crop of some kind?
Maybe, Picard had a saddle.
So there you go. And I also think that T'Lyn will show up at some point when we least expect it. Remember, she's the Vulcan who was being, told she had to go work on a Federation ship.
Right. Yeah, the other lower deckers.
I'm not even saying she's going to be assigned to the Cerritos. I think she's just going to show up.
They should get Captain Jellicoe. That would just put a wet blanket on the whole show, wouldn't it?
Wasn't he? Oh, my gosh.
So those are my predictions of what I think is going to happen, as well as stuff we talked about. Anyone else have anything for predictions?
Jellicoe's just mad because, you know, he got fired from the RoboCop Corp.
Yeah, right.
Oh, wait, that's what, three references of that movie now? We are running long.
Yeah. All right, what are your predictions, Chuck?
I already made a couple of them on the fly, but I'm going to throw this one out also. Lower Decks won't be on Paramount Plus. You can hear that dramatic, dun, 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 dun.
No kidding. What makes you say that?
The news story we had earlier, the Rocky Territory. Okay. And how long it will take to get us to season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're already in production on that, aren't they?
Well, they're definitely in the writing stage.
They wrapped the original stuff, yeah.
Yeah. So, that's an interesting prediction, and we will see. Because we're going to look at these just before the premiere of season 3 and see how we did.
All right. So I think Captain Freeman's just going to show up with no explanation about why she was arrested. Kind of like Shaxx
coming back from dying. Yeah. She's coming back. If Shaxx can come back, Boimler can come back, Freeman can come back. You know, there's
show up.
There's a precedence here. She's coming back.
And everybody's going to wonder, what happened?
Yeah, we don't talk about court martials on,
Packlet Planet will come back. How's that for a prediction?
Oh, that was my... Chuck, you had your turn. That was mine.
I'm just winging them now.
Yeah, Pack the Planet's going to come up. You mean come back.
It's going to come back.
Yeah, the Packlets are going to still play a part. They're going to get their hull plating back.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, so they can warp.
It's going to look duct taped together for a while.
Right.
Gonna have that spray on stuff like on television, like you can put for water sealing just all over it. That'll be fine.
I thought you were talking about the spray on hair.
Right. I think one of the things I'm not sure about, but I have this weird feeling about, is everybody's gonna be tired of Mariner because she's gonna be so into everybody now. It's gonna super turn around, and everybody's gonna be like, oh my gosh, can you tell her to get lost?
They like her the way she was.
Yeah.
They stop and think about it.
Yeah. She's got to meet somewhere in the middle.
We'll get another character, another regular character next year. We got Keyshawn this year. So I think there's going to be another regular.
I think
on the show.
Vulcan lower decker is going to be a.
You think Talyn will be that person?
Maybe.
I think she's going to be on the show.
Craig upped the ante.
Mm-hmm. I'll be interested to see who the captain does end up being, because that will be an interesting...
Freeman's coming back.
Yes, Freeman. Well, I think we can all predict that Freeman will be back at some point. I'm not sure.
So we got to go through Jellicoe to get back to Freeman.
Will you stop with him?
He's my most hated captain. What can I say?
Well, those are our predictions. If you have any, you can leave them as feedback over on our Facebook page for The Topic is Trek. But right now it's time to refill the dilithium chamber and to try to warp on out of here, even though we've taken all the hull plating off of this podcast. They're very exposed. Don't laugh. It's cold in space, Eric. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? You can find me, Clinton, over at Comedy Forecast, all one word with the number 4.com. Also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, MeWe, and the loaf of bread of your choice, I imagine. And who speaks for you guys?
You know how people hold up their hand when they say, call me? What's the hand gesture for tweet me or DM me?
Little thumbies. Like
this one right here.
Craig. It's a good thing this is an audio-only program.
Just give us a salute.
He was giving me a binary high 4.
Oh, I meant this. Yeah. I'm sorry. I meant this one.
Okay.
Sorry. Read between the lines.
There you can find us by searching for Technorama Podcast anywhere on the internet. Your favorite search engine will bring you to our page over at chuckchat.com, our Facebook page. We're all over the place. You can find the podcast where you find your regular podcasts, including that guy with the sketchy looking coat down on the street corner.
I think we're all over the place No truer statement has ever been made about this show, certainly. Anyway.
And then your domain registrar says, would you like to pay the extra $50 for privacy?
All right, it's time to hit the theme, boys. If you like the show, please be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. We'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Twitter at The Topic Is Trek. Visit our Facebook page or visit thetopicistrek.com. Until next time, on behalf of Chuck, Craig, and myself, I'm Clinton, thanking you for listening. And as we always say here on The Topic Is Trek,
don't
put on the red shirt. I'm an open book, I tell you.